Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome again to my Tuesday conference call. Ted Keyes, your host here, where every Tuesday I show you how to move more freight through better sales methods, better sales techniques, and things of the like. As I usually do every Tuesday, guys, just go ahead, announce yourself, who's online, where are you calling from today?
Raymond, Louisville.
Ray, welcome to the call. Good to hear you.
Thanks, Ted.
Jeff Gore, Ringgold, Georgia.
Who's calling from Ringgold?
Jeff Gore.
Jeff, welcome to the call, Jeff.
Thank you.
Anthony, John Gore, Minneapolis. Salt Lake City.
All right. I heard Salt Lake City. That must be John.
It is. How you doing?
Welcome, Ted? John. Who else is on the call, guys?
Anthony, Syracuse.
Anthony, Syracuse. Welcome, Anthony.
Marilyn, Pasadena.
Marilyn, welcome.
William, Perry, Georgia.
William from Perry. Welcome, William.
Thanks.
William, did your bamboo pick up today?
Just picking up. Picked up today.
Picking up right now, huh?
Yeah.
Good for you. Who else is on the call, guys?
Tom from
Mike
upstate
from Minneapolis.
Tom, welcome to the call. Mike from Minneapolis,
yep.
Welcome.
Ted, Dave.
Dave, welcome to the call, Dave.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Nassim from Encino.
Nassim, welcome to the call today, Nassim.
Thank you.
Ron from Colorado.
Ron from Colorado? Did I hear Ron from Colorado?
Yes.
Welcome, Ron. Appreciate it. Where are you calling from in Colorado today, Ron?
Greeley, Colorado.
Greeley, home of UNC, correct?
Correct.
All right. Welcome, Ron. Who else just joined us?
Chris and Mesa.
Chris Mesa. Welcome, Chris. Who else we got on
Maria
the line, guys?
Pasadena.
Maria from Pasadena. Welcome.
Janice from Portland, Oregon.
Janice. Welcome to the call, Janice.
Thank you.
Who else we got on the call, guys? Okay. Anybody else that wants to announce himself?
Ivan, West Palm Beach.
Ivan, welcome to the call, Ivan. I knew there was somebody out there. Okay.
Reinhard Thieben from Syracuse, New York.
Reinhold, welcome to the call today, Reinhold. Good to hear you.
Reinhard.
Reinhardt. My apologies, Reinhardt.
No
My
problem.
Apologies. Okay, Evan, are you on the call with us, Evan?
Yes, Ted, go ahead.
Okay, wonderful, Evan. Hey, great to hear your voice. I'm just going to go ahead and mute everybody out here, Evan, and then after I do that, I'm going to ask you to hit star six, okay?
Sure.
Hold on for a second. Okay, wonderful. Evan, go ahead and hit star six.
All set, Ted.
Evan, welcome to the call today. As you know, everybody, the first Tuesday of every month, I have a special guest on the call. As you know, as you may remember, today I've got Evan Gaskill on the line today from our corporate office in Buffalo, New York. Welcome, Evan.
Thank you, Ted.
Pleasure to have you with us today. Evan, you and I have known each other for four years?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes, yes. It's always a pleasure to get together with you over at the corporate office there, Evan.
Absolutely.
Evan, just give us a little rundown about yourself personally. Tell us about your family. Tell us about what you like to us on a personal level. Then give us a little indication of how long you've been in the freight industry and how long you have specifically been with LDI.
Sure. I've been married 3 years. I have two beautiful daughters, 2 years and 1 year old, and I reside in Lockport, New York. I am a lifelong resident of Western New York. Currently, corporate is in Buffalo, New York, which I make the commute. It's about 45 minutes. South of Lockport,
mm-hmm.
And I have been with LDI for going on my 11th year.
11 years. Did you start when the business started itself, Evan?
Yes, I went to college to a local college, Niagara University, for supply chain and logistics.
Got it.
And when I graduated, the business had just started, and I came on board, and there was literally only three of us in a small office in the back of corporate.
Three of you in a small office, so basically you, Dennis, and another individual?
Yes, another gentleman named Ryan Licata, who's no longer with us.
Okay, wonderful. So basically, Evan, you've got the ability to stick to something.
Absolutely, absolutely. We saw the potential, and you know what? It was a lot of hard work, but we've grown the business, and you've grown along with us, Ted.
Yeah. So when you first came on board with LDI, Evan, what were your basic, what was your job title? I would assume you're doing a lot of stuff at the
time. Yeah, were you
selling at the time as well?
You know, we had a different business model when we first started. We kind of had an in-house brokerage. So I wore a lot of hats, and we really didn't even have an accounting staff or anything like that. So basically, I was selling. I was soliciting new business. I was also doing the ops work. I was covering the freight that we had. I would follow up on invoices to customers. I would make sure carriers got their checks and things like that. When it's a small business like that, you really have to wear a lot of hats. So I pretty much did everything under the sun. Back in 2003.
So basically, just based on that, Evan, you've got a general round or overall view of how LDI operates.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree.
Okay. What do you specifically do now, Evan?
Right now, I work a lot with product development. I also work with the business development team here. And I work with the carrier sales group here at corporate.
Okay, carrier sales group. What does that entail?
Carrier sales group is a group of individuals we have here at corporate that their job is to assist our business partners, our agents, in covering their freight when they need it. So, for example, we have a lot of partners that are one or two-man operations, and when they have a really busy day, some freight could slip through the cracks if it wasn't easy to cover or something like that. In situations like that, they would reach out to the carrier sales team and say, hey, you know, this is John from Dallas, Texas. I need help on this lane right here. And with carrier sales and the vast connections they have with different carriers, they usually can cover that freight for them.
Mm. So carrier sales is like it's an extension. It's a department that assists the agents in finding trucks. Am I on the right path here?
Yep.
Finds trucks to assist agents. Of course, when carrier sales finds a truck, does that mean that they earn a little commission on that, Evan?
Yes. Yes. There is a different split. The business partner would get 70% of his commissions, and the other 30 would remain at corporate.
Okay. All righty. So let's move on. Let's go back to the time where you just started and you were doing quite a bit of sales, you know, when it was just the three of you. John, yourself, and Dennis, right?
Ryan, yourself,
and Dennis. Okay, got it. So basically, what do you basically recall about those times, Evan? Because as you know, there are a lot of agents of mine on the line here, always looking for better ways to be more successful and more productive as a freight agent. What specifically comes to mind when you are doing sales yourself that you feel that you could share with the agents that are listening right now on the call? For example, when you started with LDI, Evan, were you on strictly commission?
Base plus. A base plus commission.
Base plus, okay. So aside from that, what do you recall specifically about, you know, making, whatever you like to share, making cold calls? Did you see after a while that there was a certain, you know, did it take time before you felt you had become successful? Anything that you like to share with us, Evan?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I have some vivid memories. But, you know, after graduating college, I had...
How old are you, Evan, by the way?
I'm 32.
32, okay.
After graduating college, I received two job offers, one with ABF, a large trucking company, to enter their management trainee program.
Are they, predominantly LTL?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And then one with LDI. A basic startup company, and as you could imagine, there was high risk with LDI, and there was some stability with ABF. But
absolutely.
I chose the LDI path because I saw the potential, and if anything failed, I could always look back on it as a learning experience because I knew how much I would learn early on. So. When I first started, you know, you could find customers that ship anywhere. You can turn your water bottle around, and it says, you know, Nestle's. It's in Poland Spring, Maine. And you could cold call them, and you can try to bid on some of their freight and offer them value. And we did that, but to an extent, we found ourselves spreading too thin. So we were chasing freight all over the country, and we didn't really have a specific niche. So what we did is we set out to create a niche for ourselves. And we kind of put our heads together, and what we all knew was a very specific niche, and that niche was New England full truckload outbound.
New England full truckload outbound. Outbound meaning from New England basically headed south, southeast, or southwest.
Anywhere west or south.
Right,
So New England, I mean New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Connecticut, things like that. And what we did is we really focused on those states, and we tailored our prospecting to those states. And not only that, we tailored it to the full truckload from those states. So
just refresh everybody, what entails New England, Evan?
Yeah, New England, the Northeast.
Entail New England or encompass New England?
Right, the Northeast is what you guys all know Northeast is. But New England would start at New York and go as low as New Jersey, but it would also connect Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine. And those are the states that encompass New England.
And Rhode Island.
In Rhode Island, yes, yeah. Thank you.
So New York is considered New England as well?
The eastern part of it.
Got it, yeah.
So what we did is we really focused there, and with that focus, we learned our cost basis.
Got it.
So that's one of the most important things that you can know when prospecting is you have to know your cost.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to know where there's areas of opportunity, and then you're going to know where there's not areas of opportunity. So we learned our cost very early on. And then what we did is we tried to saturate that market. And we were cold calling in that area. We were taking referrals in that area. And we would get calls for freight outside of that area. But if it wasn't New England outbound, full truckload, we wouldn't broker it. And that's very hard for a lot of people to do. It was hard for me. It was, I have a truckload in St. Louis going to Chicago. I can't help you. It's very hard to turn that away, but what we did is we really grew that niche, and then from that niche we grew out, and then that broke into other parts of the country.
Let me ask you this, Evan. Did you have the LDI freight system that we joyfully utilize today while you were doing this?
We did, but it was not nearly as advanced as it is right now.
So even from, say, year one, you had something, you had somewhat of an LDI freight system to utilize?
We did. We had we had outsourced to a sister company, Advanced 2000. They have some programmers on staff, so we outsourced to them to create a basic model for us, and they did, and it was very basic. And then a few years later, we knew that if we wanted to be more efficient, we'd have to make the system more efficient. So then came Brendan, which you know, and he kind of created this this LDI freight system that's one of the best in the country.
Brendan has basically designed the freight system then?
Yes. The foundation was there, but he built everything else on top of it.
Yeah, just real quickly, explain the history of that, because I don't necessarily know. I know that, well, go ahead, Evan. So basically you were saying earlier that Advanced 2000 is a sister company of LDI. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Correct.
And they started with the base of the system.
Correct.
And then Brendan came on year two later?
Yeah, give or take, probably 2 or 3 years later. So they have programmers that that write code and develop software, and we basically told them, here's what we need, and here's the functionality we need, and it was very basic. So they produced a LDI Freight software that we started with, and there was many limitations with it. But if we needed anything changed, we would, you know, have to outsource it back to them, and it would take time and things like that.
Absolutely.
But now with Brendan being...
And again, that's Brendan Muck?
Brendan Muck, our...
What is his title, Evan?
Senior developer.
Got it.
Being in-house with us. You know, we can turn changes around same day, and major changes we can turn around, you know, within 30 days. So
basically, Brendan is really the genius behind most of what happens here. I mean, obviously, you guys get together for problem solving and whatnot, but it's really Brendan that implements most of the ideas and, you know, does the coding and all that stuff.
Yeah, he's excellent at what he does. It's usually Mike and myself. We come up with these crazy ideas, and then we'll do a little brainstorm session with Brendan. And you know, we'll be for example the you know, carrier smart search. You know, there's a bunch of great tools there, but it could encompass more. So we said we want a tool that you can just do origin, destination, search, and the next thing you know, you have DAT matches, you have ITS matches, you have lane history, you have delivering trucks and all these things in one place. And he made it happen, you know. So usually the ideas come from someone else, but he implements them and makes them work, and they're in a user-friendly fashion.
Okay. So let's go back to actually moving freight. So basically, way back when you decided we're going to find New England outbound freight. Now actually, that to me, that is a good category to go after, because there's not a whole lot going out of New England. Would you agree?
Right. I agree.
There's a whole lot more going in. So
exactly.
I would venture to say that you had a lot of competition for out for freight coming out, just
yep.
because, and from my experiences, it's on the lower end as far as pricing.
Yep.
But basically, Evan, did you go after commodities that you were familiar with, or did you just call companies specifically looking for outbound freight?
Probably a little of both. We had a company that we worked with, and what they were doing is they were recycling rubber, which is very, very popular now, and all the athletic fields are all this recycled rubber and this turf. And it was kind of new back then, and they had a bunch of plants across the country, and a lot of them were in the New England area.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did is we would get in with one plant, and you know, we'd earn our reputation, we'd do good work for them, and then the next thing you know, we would be getting a referral to maybe a plant in New Jersey or something else.
Were you getting a referral, or were you mainly, did you mainly think, you know what, hey, I think I got this rubber thing down, let me start pursuing other companies that are in the industry?
Both. If I could have an intro from somebody that I'd worked with, into another plant or something, I'd take that all day. But I also could name drop at a new plant, say, hey, I work with Tom Martin over in Albany. You know, I know you run the traffic or the transportation out of here. I've been working with him for a year now. I was wondering if I could help you out with a little of your transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, I got a relationship with Marcus or Charles, you know, and that's kind of how it branched out from there.
How would you compare that compared to just going in totally cold?
It's very different. It's very different. You can sell less on price and more on valued service. A lot of the times, unfortunately, to get in the door, you might have to be better than their best price. But if it's a referral, then you kind of come in a different light.
So basically, as you said, when you go into a place cold, it's almost a guarantee that to get in there, you've got to beat the going rate.
Yeah, and or
to get someone's attention.
Right, or you're going to work some really hard lanes that they struggle with.
Go ahead and repeat that again, Evan, so everybody hears it.
Sure.
Two options.
Yeah. So
or the two outcomes.
Right. So you're going to go in and you're going to win on price if it's a cold call, most likely. Or secondly, you're going to have to cover some really difficult lanes that they have.
So even you can relate to that, Evan.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You can relate where you go into a customer, they finally give you the opportunity. It's like, wow, okay, this guy's going to give me this opportunity. Of course, whenever that happens, I tell our agents to post the load and here's what you do. So should we be surprised to a degree that when we post that lane that the phone isn't necessarily ringing right away?
No. And then you can realize why he wanted you to work that lane.
You soon realize why. So give us some options, Evan. Give us some solutions, pointed solutions when that happens. When we post the load, this is a new prospect. They've finally given us the opportunity. They give us this lane or two to work, and we post the lane because I have a list of guidelines for all of our agents to follow when they get a request, for a quote. But basically, you know, when we post it and the phone is not ringing, what options are available to us to find an available truck that's out there in the marketplace?
Sure. The industry has changed quite a bit, and it's very cyclical, and it will continue to change. But supply and demand will dictate most likely whether the phone's going to blow up when you post a load in a certain lane or it's going to be dead silence. A couple ways to combat the phone not ringing are to make outbound calls and to get creative. Okay. So what I did is, you know, what I think typical brokers will do is they'll call a trucking company and say, hey, anybody available in Dallas, Texas? The dispatcher will respond with, no, not at this time. Typical broker will say, okay, thanks, goodbye, and hang up the phone. What I think you should do to get creative and take it to the next level is, hey, anybody available in Dallas? Nope, we're all covered up today. Do you ever get out there? Oh, you're only out there once a month? Where do you usually run? Oh, you're more in the Northeast? Okay. What are the lanes you need help with? Where can I help you? And then start that relationship where you can provide value to them.
To a carrier,
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And you could provide value to that carrier, you know, because you have a dispatcher that, you know, these trucking companies, 85% of trucking companies in the country are six trucks or less.
I was going to say, Evan, you want to first ask the question, how many units do you have?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Somebody says two units.
Absolutely.
Your probability of utilizing them are going to be quite slim, wouldn't you agree?
Unless they run that lane or a lane that you have freight in pretty steadily.
Right. Right.
So you got to match up a bunch of variables. But what we did is we got creative. And most brokers would say, anybody available today? Okay, no, hang up the phone. And then you get a little more creative, and then you say, you know what? But I do have somebody out there Thursday. And then you can maybe go back to your shipper and say, hey, nothing for today, but I got one for Thursday. And next thing you know, your shipper says, oh, I have another one for Thursday. You want it? And then you just made a deal.
Can you think back into your memory bank and come up with an idea that's similar to what you just described there, Evan?
An idea that's similar to?
An actual example of where that happened.
Sure.
Can you give us a story, a short story on something like that happened?
Sure. So we worked with a bottled water manufacturer up in the New England, and bottled water is they're going to pack as much weight as they can onto
5,000.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, they're going to pack as much weight, and who wants to haul that? Not many guys want to haul that. But you got to get creative and find the guys that do. And a lot of the times, the guys that do don't post their trucks because brokers are calling them all the time and they're already set up.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to look for freight that much. So what you have to do is dig a little deeper and don't hang up the phone after that first question. Okay. Anybody available in Boston today? Nope, nobody available. Oh, do you run that lane a lot? Yeah, we get up there a lot. Okay. Are you looking for freight a lot? No, not really. We're pretty much covered up there. Where do you need some help? You know what? In Portland, I have guys up there all the time, but I can't seem to find a load out of there. And the next thing you know, you have a shipper that has some freight in Portland, and that's the way to match it up. And a lot of times people won't haul the heavy freight, but in that situation, that guy was just looking to get out, and he'd take anything, so it worked out.
Sounds to me like when you take an interest in somebody, in them business-wise or personally, most people will respond.
Absolutely. When you show that you care and you want to provide value, you feel their pain points. You know, so say you got a dispatcher that's running 20 trucks. You know, we probably have guys on the line that have done that. They're not just dispatching 20 trucks. They're talking to 20 brokers. They're talking to the mechanics. They're talking to their accounting team. They're talking to the owners of the company. They're really, really busy, and they're really stretched.
They're talking to drivers as well.
Yeah, absolutely, and they're stretched really thin.
Yeah.
So what you can do is help them out. Hey, every Thursday I got this load. Okay. Send me four confirmations, one for every Thursday for the month of May. Okay. You got it. And you can plan ahead, which in turn helps these dispatchers out a lot.
Excellent idea. Send me four confirmations. Send me four confirmations. Now, what if this load that you're working with, this new prospect, doesn't have this stability, Evan? Remember, we're talking about working with a new prospect here.
Yes.
Now, with water, yeah, I mean, they come, you know, those are always coming out of Poland.
Yeah.
Not Poland, but Maine. But what about with a new prospect that is finally giving you the opportunity to move a somewhat challenging lane? You know, and again, the question was, you've posted it, you're not getting any calls on it. What do I do now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so as you can imagine, when you start a brokerage, your credit rating's not that good.
Absolutely.
So I would literally spend 5, 6, 7 hours on the phone, and I would be covering freight, and I'd be recovering that freight because the truck would then search our credit, and we wouldn't have any credit, and no credit's bad credit. So I would literally just have to be on the phone all day long, just working the freight. And if I had it covered, I'd have a backup. And if that backup didn't work, I'd have another backup. So I would say outbound activity is very, very important. A lot of times we're reliant upon the inbound calls, which is good because as the broker, you have a lot of negotiation strength with an inbound call. And then you lose some when you call trucks because you're calling them. You need to get it covered. That's kind of the perspective. But what you have to do is you have to make those calls, lose that negotiation strength, but you get that load covered.
Mm-hmm.
And by getting that load covered, what it's going to do is it's going to open the shipper's eyes. Oh, this guy's skilled. This guy can do it.
You brought up an excellent point, Evan. Excellent, excellent point. Because, again, I give these guidelines for our agents for when they get a request. However, this is when carriers are calling you, asking you for the load. So really, and really, you know that when you post a load and carriers call you, you have, what did you just call it, the upper hand?
Yeah, we call it negotiation strength.
Okay. When carriers call us, we have negotiation strength. When we call carriers...
You lose a little.
Well, it all depends on what the lane is.
Right, very true.
Yeah, because, I mean, this goes to freight brokering 101. When carriers call us, we've got the strength. When we call them, they've got the strength, basically, in a nutshell.
Correct.
But you are correct. Everything you're describing is what I went through when I first started in this profession, in this industry. And that is, okay, you finally get the opportunity, you post it on the load, nobody's calling, then you start go out. You've got to go out and start searching. Obviously, you got your DAT matches, but basically, you've got to get creative. One thing that I've mentioned in the past is go to Craigslist and go to an area where they're looking for drivers. That means that if your load is coming out of Nashville, then go to Nashville Craigslist. There's going to be carriers that are advertising for drivers there. Again, this is just one option. Call them. Hey, do you have a truck available for today? You know, whatever it may be. Again, I'm just throwing ideas out there.
Absolutely.
Because they're kind of rolling off my brain right now.
Absolutely.
But basically, you can't just let it sit there. Again, if you want to get the business of the individual or that company, you've got to do something. But the ideas are going to come as you incorporate other ideas. You know, you never know who's going to say, well, I don't have a truck, but go call Joe Blow. He's got 5 trucks, in Louisville, Kentucky, or wherever you're looking.
Right, right.
I know I went on there for a while, Evan, but go ahead. What other, do you have any other ideas that you can share? Because let's face it, a new prospect, they're going to throw the difficult lanes at you. That's just the way it is. That's something that I'm always repeating. Hey, or Evan, a prospect will say, give me a rate on this lane when they don't necessarily have the lane.
Yes, yes. And they're just trying to feel you out at that point.
Go ahead.
And a lot of the times, what I tell my guys is it doesn't hurt to say, let me get back to you on that. If you don't know the lane off the top of your head and you don't have specific examples of your cost, then you're doing yourself a disservice by quoting it, because most of the time you're going to quote it wrong. So, hey, let me get that quote for you. Can I set up another time that I can call you back? And you set up that appointment for the next call, which is very important. and then you make it like look like you've done your research, which you have, and you put in some time, and most of the time they'll appreciate you doing the work and getting back to them, and then you never know what that might lead into the next step.
So what happens, Evan, then, when you actually, you know, talk to the marketplace talks to you back, and you come up with a rate of $1,400, and then you send that to your prospect, and they come back and say, we normally move that lane for $1,100. What do you do then?
A bunch of variables come into play, but if you know your cost basis, and you know your cost basis is $1,200, and he's getting it covered for $1,100, a few things come into mind. Maybe he's carrier direct. Maybe he's direct with a carrier. Okay.
Absolutely.
And then maybe you do find out he's direct with a broker. He's going through a broker. Well, what that tells me is he's most likely probably using some, you know, lower level service carriers, and there's probably some service issues. So
if your prices are way off initially.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where you might slow play it and rely on timing to be your end, which would be the carrier drops the ball, or the carrier's been late 2 days in a row, or this is the third time in a week that they haven't showed up for the pickup. And then the next thing you know, that guy's looking at your rate for $1,400 and saying, well, if that's going to come with a truck, I'm going to do it. I got too many headaches to worry about, you know, somebody coming in.
It all depends on what that shipping manager's pain level is at that
exactly. time. Exactly.
It all depends on that.
Exactly.
Again, if he's just checking the market, you know, obviously he's not going to, there's no pain level there. He's just curious. You know, this guy Evan has been calling me now for the last 2 months. He's showing me that he's serious. Let me just throw this at him. Let me just see how close he comes to the rate I'm getting. So, it all depends on the pain level that they're
absolutely.
In. One thing that I teach Evan is I can typically tell when an agent is looking for a rate, especially for a first-time prospect, and that happens. You quote him, I tell my agent, quote him $1,400, and they come back and say, with a down face and a poor attitude, he normally covers that for $1,100. Now, is that a reason to be sad, Evan?
No.
What are some of the positives that you can find out of a situation like that?
That tells me he's interested. He told you his rate.
Right. He also wants to see how far down you'll come from what you're getting, because really, he can say, I usually cover that for $1,100. Does he really, though?
Right. What does usually mean?
You never know. You gotta look at the clues. You gotta look at the clues on what the response is. But just out of the, you know, just on a side note here, what I usually have our agents do is I pay them. I tell them to pay them a compliment. Say that is an excellent rate. Pay them a compliment by saying that's an excellent rate. What else is moving?
Perfect. Perfect.
That's an excellent rate. What else is moving? It's a way to keep the conversation going. And again, we always teach to answer as many. I basically say answer every request that you get. Of course, that's not always possible, especially when they're throwing a difficult lane at you right away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better to be high than low.
Absolutely.
It's always better to respond than not respond. Well, what's your opinion on an agent not responding to a first-time freight request?
It is most likely setting yourself up for failure. How many times do you get to make a first impression? The answer is once. And you want to make that first impression be a long-lasting impression. And if it's a professional, upbeat first impression, then you know what? People like to do business with people they like. or if it's a negative kind of downward spiral, okay, good luck with that then, or something, you know, condescending like that, then you're probably not going to get freight out of them.
Or yeah, right.
Yeah, you keep it upbeat and you keep it positive, and you know what? People will come back. And there might be that timing, that one day when they had a service failure and they're going to look to you. And that could lead to so many bigger and better things in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any last points that you'd, I mean, simple points that you could share with us, Evan, before we go to some questions here?
Sure. You know, we talked a lot about the selling piece to it. You know, there's kind of two pieces to the freight brokering business, in my opinion. One's the sales piece and one's the operations piece. Can't have one without the other. But, you know, a lot of the money is made on the sales side. And a lot of times people get discouraged early. But with, you know, the pending, or not the pending, the actual capacity crunch that we have going right now, people are open to looking for redundancy or backups or even new vendors when it comes to their shipping. So now is a really important time to strike, and don't get discouraged. Stay positive, and good things will happen.
What would you say is the average time period where a starting agent can say to themselves, wow, I'm getting this, or where they actually feel like they're going to be successful in the profession, Evan?
Yeah, 80% of sales are made on the 8th to 12th contact. So it's a long process, and some will pop early, and then some will even take longer. But every day, every minute, every phone call, you're learning. And you're, even though you might not feel it, you're getting better at what you do. So stay with it. And you know, Ted's here to help. We're here to help at corporate. And anything we can do, just let us know.
Just as an example, I got a load today from a customer that I made contact with back before I even came to LDI.
Yeah, exactly.
Just happened to, you know, send out the same emails and do the same marketing that I did with these folks, and lo and behold, this gentleman didn't even know the guy. It was a gal who was my contact, and this gentleman who possibly replaced her, I don't even know, sent me a quote last week, and I quoted it, and he said, "You got the load." Got his completed credit app 4 years later.
Wow.
4 years later.
Persistent.
But did I? Well, right. I just kept sending out my question. What is moving this week? What's moving this week? Okay, Evan, we're just going to go to a short question here period, because I know some of our folks here have some questions for you. Guys, if you have a question for Evan, hit *5. He is more than willing to answer it for you. Hit *5. Who's first?
This is Raymond from Louisville.
Raymond from Louisville.
Hi, Raymond.
Hey, how you doing, Evan?
Good. Thanks, buddy.
First of all, I wanted to say thank you. You know, I'm kind of new to this, and everything you guys said, I felt like it was pinpointed towards me. And that's not a bad thing at all. It's actually, I learned a lot so far, so I appreciate that.
Good.
And then the question I had was, it's kind of similar to exactly what you guys were talking about. I've been dealing with the vice president of a company, and he sent me a couple lanes, and he went way lower than what I quoted him at. Kind of got a little bit frustrated because he told me the truck was picking up one day, and it wound up picking up 3 days earlier when I had the truck ready to go. But the question was, dealing with a vice president, kind of a weird question, do you think I should deal with somebody a little bit lower who's not as busy when I go back and ask them, you know, what's moving this week?
Does that make sense? Go ahead, Raymond.
Does that make sense or no?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
I didn't know he was the VP when I first called him.
Yeah, it kind of, you know, depends upon the business model that they have. smaller businesses, a lot of the actual salesmen control the freight because they have to go out and get freight costs and they have to bundle it into their sell. And then even smaller businesses, it might be the owners who control the freight spend. So it's not exactly bad that you're dealing with a VP. It's probably good. But a lot of the times the C-level executives or things like that don't have a really good grasp on the transportation needs of their company if it's a larger company. So, you know, it's one of those things where we always say to try to find three levels of contact within a company. And the good news, Raymond, is you found the hardest first. You know, the C-level or the president or the vice president, they're the hardest to get to. They have a lot of gatekeepers prior to getting to them. The easiest is the secretary or someone that is in customer service, and they might even be a gatekeeper to the transportation manager. But I would try to get at least another contact within the company or preferably two more. So you would have three levels of contact. And then once you have those three levels.
Should I go through him to do that, or should I just go about that on my own?
You can. You can go through him. I mean, don't make it feel like you're circumventing him to try to go around or above him. You can stumble upon other people, or you can just ask questions to him and listen. And the next thing you know, you might pick up on something that gives you another level of contact. But, the good news is you got the hardest part done first and now get those other two levels or at least another level and then try to make your decision upon who's really controlling the freight here, who's really controlling the rates and things like that.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
No problem, Raymond.
Excellent question, Ray. Next question, hit star 5. Who's next, guys? I was going to add on to your discussion with Ray there. Evan, obviously our goal is to make contact with the shipping decision maker. Shipping decision maker. That could be the president. It could be the vice president. It could be the secretary. Would you agree, Evan?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So those are things that you have to find out beforehand with a little Google research.
Mm-hmm.
Who's next, guys? Hit star 5. Did I hear somebody ready to ask a question for Evan?
I got another question if nobody else does.
Fire away, Ray.
Okay, I have two lanes right now where something that I haven't dealt with before has to do with tankers, and I haven't got any calls on that yet, and I just want to see, you know, what would be the best route to figure out as far as, you know, how do I search it? Because I want to get a rate for this guy over as soon as possible.
Sure.
Ray, are they tankers or are they tankers? Are you hauling a tanker or does it require a tanker to be filled with liquid or tankers usually?
Yeah, it requires a tanker to be filled with liquid, 6,000-gallon tanker.
Is it hazmat, non-haz?
Non-hazmat, it's vinegar.
Okay, vinegar, okay, right.
Yeah. And he said if I get him a good rate, he's going to patch me through to his buddy who's a big player in the vinegar industry.
Okay.
So I want to try to get him a good rate, but I haven't got any calls on it yet.
Good. Good question.
Advice for Ray on finding some tankers.
Sure. We've had some success in brokering tankers. What you have to know about tankers is they don't backhaul. So whatever they're hauling, they're getting paid outbound, and then they're also getting paid to come back empty. But what a lot of tanker trucks will do is they will try to find a reload or something like that. And a lot of times it's difficult depending upon what they're hauling, just like Ted said, if it's food grade or if it's hazmat or something like that.
Yeah.
But couple options is, for the most part, you will have to find a head hauler, and you'll have to make contact with a tanker company that is near the shipper. And how you can do that is you can just, you know, utilize Google, you can Google tanker trucks near St. Louis or wherever the freight is, and then tanker trucks in you know, San Francisco.
You can always talk to other just regular trucking companies and say, hey, are you aware of any tanker companies in your neck of the woods? So a lot of different options there, but go ahead, Evan.
Yeah, so what you'll do then is, you know, you'll have to make contact with maybe a head hauler that is local to that area, or someone that's not too far away, maybe a couple hundred miles, and know that they make good money. So they don't haul for $2-3 a mile. They haul for very, very good per mile rates. So don't be shell shocked when they throw some numbers at you to quote it, because trust me, your customer has seen those numbers before. So if you go in thinking the quote is high, you might not be too far off, because they get paid to head haul and then to back haul. So they get paid round trip.
Well, he's at $8.25 flat rate for about 130 miles. Does that, from your experience, does that seem pretty accurate?
You know, when you have the smaller runs, the 100-mile runs,
that's what your prospect is willing to pay, Ray?
Yes.
8.25 for a 200-mile round trip?
A little over 200-mile round trip.
Really, Ray? It depends on the carrier and what you negotiate with them.
Okay. I just want to make sure I was in the ballpark, just considering I never, you know, posted a lane for a tanker before.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I was way off.
And don't get discouraged by not getting any calls on that. You're probably not going to get any calls.
It's a specialty haul, Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a specialty haul, something that I don't necessarily teach to beginners. But, again, it comes down to your ability to negotiate between the carrier and the customer.
Okay.
If you find a carrier that'll do it for $700, well, just go back to the customer. Hey, I've got a tanker that'll do it for $9.
Okay.
You know, what, $75 to get a load hauled. Many different ways to look at it.
Perfect.
Okay,
I'm
going
to get my first on.
Okay. Again, excellent question, Ray. Who's got another question for Evan? Hit *5. Who's next, guys?
I don't have a question, but where was that tanker coming from?
Is that Ivan?
This is Ivan.
Ivan from West Palm Beach, Evan. What was your question? What was your question, Ivan?
Basketball, California.
Oh, it's California? Okay.
Yeah, Sebastopol, California.
All right, I got a contact in Northeast. In the Northeast, he's got 5 tanks, food grade.
Okay.
So if you ever need that, let me know.
All right, perfect.
What's your number, Ivan? What's your number, Ivan?
561.
Okay.
899.
Okay.
3653.
3653.
Ivan, thank you so much for sharing that.
Thanks, Ivan.
Okay, next question. Hit *6. It's not like I get Evan on all the time here, guys. He's got a question for Evan. As he said, he started when the company started. If anyone knows freight, Evan does. So you've got 5 questions or 5 minutes to come up with a question for him. If your desire is to move more freight, who's next on the call? Hit *6.
Yes, this is Dave.
Okay, Dave. Evan, this is Dave from Woodland Hills, California.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Evan. Ted, you just... Hello?
Yeah, Dave.
You just keep telling press start 5, but it's a start 6. I just want to say that because it doesn't work.
Am I making a mistake?
Yes, you did it at least 5 times.
Okay. Star 6 unmutes you.
Yes. Okay, Evan, my first question, do you still booking the load for yourself?
No, I'm not.
You're not. Okay. My next question is about, I know you're one of the important men in LDI, so I want to know what is the deal about those LTL and those company you have a contract for LTL, because, I mean, like a little time ago it was Freight Center, so I believe it was real bad, and right now you guys change it to the Blue Grays. And the point with Blue Grays, if you remember, I had a conversation with you. Anytime I check the rate, I need to check with the carrier, right? I try to make a contact with them. They don't respond at all, not to the phone and not to the, you know, email. So I don't know really if we just coding our customer is the right code or no.
Were you trying to make contact with Blue Grays or the actual trucking company?
No, with the Blue Grays.
Okay. good question, Dave. When it comes to LTL, you know, 95% of our business is full truckload. You know, we're on track to do over $60 million in 2014, and 95% of it is full truckload. So LTL rates come with volume. We have volume, but we don't have enough volume to really command really, really aggressive rates. So what we do is we strategically partner with other 3PLs, creating a 4PL atmosphere where they will allow us to piggyback off their rates. Well, they'll give us a small markup, and then they'll give us that rate. The companies we piggyback with are pretty much the complete opposite of what we are. They are 95% LTL and do basically no truckload. So we've strategically partnered with Freight Center, X-Rate, and Blue Grace because they can offer us deeper discounts. We have direct pricing with the LTL carriers, but thus far our discounts aren't as competitive as some others are. So in the partnership, there was an integration, an API integration, where our systems would basically talk. And in the partnership, in the negotiations, we've agreed to a low-touch partnership. So, you know, we have 75 agents across the country. They don't want to have to hire 5 people to accommodate our 75 agents. So we created a low-touch atmosphere by integrating the systems where they can send us rates, where we'll do a rate request and it'll pull, and then the rates will generate. And then we can actually tender the freight right in the LTL rater, so we don't have to, you know, talk to a customer service rep or account rep to actually tender a load. Just right-click, build LTL load, save it, and it automatically gets tendered to, a, you know, for example, a Blue Grace team that helps their API customers, us being one. So we wanted to create a low-touch environment, but they still should be getting back to you if you have questions. You shouldn't be getting rates from them. The rates should come from the system, and the tendering should come directly from the system. So maybe if you were trying to get a rate or tender a load, they thought it was maybe going to be coming over from LDI Freight in an API form, so they didn't help you. They should be accommodating you when you have questions. So if you have any issues going forward, you know, just keep me in the loop, and I'll address it with someone.
Okay, Evan, but, okay, there is another point beside that one. Thanks for, you know, you explain everything. I understand exactly. But another point is anytime we just trying to find the prospect or start having a new customer, you know, most of those customers, before they want to give you the full truckload, they're asking you to move some of their partial load. So for that one, I want to know what the LDI does for us to, you know, to have the better rate and start doing with those customers, because catching those customers needs to have a good rate on the LTL.
Sure, sure. You know, I classify LTL as 1 to 5 pallets, anything less than 5,000 pounds. I classify five pallets or more, or anything more than 5,000 pounds, is a partial or a volume move. A partial move should be posted in LDI Freight, and the partial box should be checked. And then you can also make calls to those LTL carriers on that volume quote tab within LDI Freight quote.
You bring up a good point, Dave. Basically, Dave, you would like to get some great pricing so you can get this business, correct?
Definitely, Ted.
Okay. But what you're finding out is when you go to the LTL tool rater and you put in all the variables, right, you come up with, 10 rates?
Ted, our rate is not, is not good.
This no, I understand, but I'm just going through the process here. So Evan has an idea of what you're talking about. Basically, what Dave is talking about, Evan, is that he uses the LTL rater, but so many times the rate that we get, add on our profit, is just not competitive with, what his customers are looking for.
Sure.
Have you ever gotten those types of complaints or issues, Evan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The best way I can respond to that is we are getting better every day at our LTL rates. We are not going to be able to compete with the customers that move 100 LTL shipments a day. And 95% of the time, those customers are direct with carriers anyway, so it's hard to break in there. I would say if you are going to target LTL customers, that you should target the small to medium-sized shippers. That's where we can offer value. I know the large shippers have the volume, and that's appealing to a lot of people. But for the most part, our rates might not be competitive. So when you target those small to medium-sized shippers, you can really offer value, because most of the time our rates are competitive with what they have.
Okay. Evan, one more question.
So in a nutshell, Dave. Hey, Dave.
Yes, Dave.
We just don't have the best system yet.
I understand.
Yet.
I totally understand.
Okay.
Okay. One more question. Evan, we just, if you have any customer, we just, if anybody goes to LDI website, or if they look at all those brochures we have, they can see all our services about, air, ocean, and, the full truckload. I mean, whatever, even the intermodal. But I want to know, as one of the agents working for LDI, what kind of equipment or what kind of service do we have for the air and container? So, because I really myself is scared to call any importer or exporter, because I don't know if we are able to, give him the rate, or just, if we are able to give him the equipment for their, for their movement. So
excellent question, Dave.
Basically,
yes.
We do not have any information about the air service and, the ocean service. Do we have another contract with another, huge company like LTL, or we need to go find out ourselves?
Sure. We are going to become a freight forwarder. We don't have our freight forwarding authority right now. We just have the commercial brokerage license. That's part of the plan, is to become a freight forwarder as well. But right now, our options, because we don't have that license through the government, is to partner with freight forwarders who can accommodate those moves for us. So there is companies that have freight forwarding authority, and they can move internationally or ocean or air. And a lot of the times, those are the companies that we have to ship through. And again, as we progress with the business, we'll become more competitive in that arena. Right now, I would say less than 1% of our business is not domestic U.S., okay? So, again, what we're good at is that domestic full truckload. We're not only good at it, we're excellent at it. And I tell people every day that we are the best agent-based full truckload freight broker in the country. And that's what we're good at, really good at. And we're going to grow with time. So to answer your questions, we can accommodate those needs. But again, your target market is probably those small to medium-sized shippers, not the guy that's importing or exporting 100 loads a month or 100 loads a week. Probably not a good target for you because most likely they have very competitive rates.
Okay, that's very good to know. And another question regarding those, you say you have a, we have a, you know, the carrier sales in LDI. I just want to know what kind of rate do they offer? I mean, for example, if I do have a lane today and I cannot find a truck, so I'm going to come to the office and ask them, okay, I need help. They just want to, they just try to cover that lane for me, or they're just going to come up with a reasonable rate?
That's a sales team.
Yes.
The carrier sales group will find the truck and they'll cover it for you.
But what about the rate, Evan? Is it a reasonable rate or no?
Oh, you will dictate the rate. You know, I have this lane from here to here. I quoted my customer $2,400, cover it for $2,100 or less. And that's the area they have to work with. If they have a truck for $2,200, they're going to come to you and they're going to say, hey, David, I have a truck for $2,200. I know it's outside of your pay range, but we're hanging on this. Do you want to move it? You might say, yes, let's do it. It's totally your call, 100%. Of the time, it's your call. There's never a forced dispatch or anything like that.
You can accept or reject it, Dave.
I got it. Okay.
Anything else, Dave?
I think that's it.
Excellent questions, Dave.
Thank you.
Excellent questions, Dave. Evan, you got time for one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
I have a question.
Who's speaking?
This is Dustin from Austin, Texas.
Did you say Dustin?
Yes, from Dustin, Austin, Texas.
Dustin, welcome to the call today.
Earlier in the call, you said that in the early days of LDI, you really focused on developing a niche, running full truckload out of New England. When you were developing that niche, was it very important for you to develop a backhaul on those lanes?
Yes, yes. That was 100% of the business. You know, if you guys know rates, if I were to ship a full truckload from Chicago to Boston, it's going to cost me a lot. If I were to ship it from Boston to Chicago, it's going to cost me a lot less. So we're able to find a market that had a lot of carrier source. And then all we had to do from there, easier said than done, is get the freight. We knew we could cover it, and we knew what our cost basis was. So the backhaul portion of that was very important to why we selected that niche, yes.
To get a truck to to have an interest in taking your load.
Yes.
If you had a backhaul for them going back to New England, because let's face it, it's easy getting freight out of New England.
So
it's more challenging getting it back in there.
So would you say in order of importance, is it more important to find a shipper in New England to ship the freight out and then find the shipper to backhaul it than it is to actually find the carrier?
Yes. You know, in LDI Freight, there's a tool called RateMate, and you guys should play around with it because it kind of gives you a feel for supply and demand across the country, and it literally has a stoplight on it, and if it's green, it means you have good negotiation strength, and if it's red, it means you don't. So the broker negotiation strength out of an area where there is little freight but many trucks is very good because you control that freight. And then broker negotiation strength out of an area where there's many trucks but not as much freight isn't as good because the negotiation strength then lies with the trucker.
Dustin?
Yes, Ted.
Excellent questions. Of course, you'll have to be an LDI agent to find out what Evan is exactly talking about, correct?
Correct.
Great questions.
Yes, good question.
If you have that interest, Dustin, please give me a call after the phone call here. One more question, Nevin?
Sure.
One more question for Evan. I believe it's at star six.
It's Debbie. Can you hear me?
Debbie from Kingman?
Kingman, Arizona.
Okay. Evan, this is Debbie from Kingman. She's a recent new addition to our team.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Evan. Hey, thank you so much for the time you spent with us here. That was some really good information.
Absolutely.
I apologize for missing the first half of it, though. I was doing a load, my second load. Yay.
Great job, Debbie.
Thank you. Hey, I was just curious about, I noticed on, I think it was Facebook, I saw that LDI put out a mobile app, and just because the holidays are coming up and I'm getting ready to go to San Diego, my mom's paying for a trip, whatever, I was wondering how that works, if you've used it yet.
I've helped develop it. So I have used it a lot. It is... I don't know of many apps that are agent-centric. There's a lot of apps out there that are focused on carriers or customers to monitor freight, but I don't know of any other ones that are focused on the agent to be able to broker the freight. And that's what our app does. It's called LDI AgentMate. And it allows you to basically, not saying we want you to do this, but basically you can run your business from the app. You can post freight, you can cover freight, you can send rate confirmations, you can search miles, you can search your customers. A lot of the functionality you can do in LDI Freight, you can do in the app, believe it or not. Now, the real neat kind of, you know, carrier smart search or advanced functionality, you can't. But you could literally run your business from the app if you had to.
Okay.
Hey, Debbie.
Maria
uses the app to a certain degree. I don't know if she does. I don't know how far along we are with its total application, Evan. But that's those are good questions for Maria. She can definitely give you her input.
Fantastic.
On how to access it.
Yeah, I would definitely download it. And even if you're not going on a trip, if you have to go to the doctor's office or something, you know, you can still have it in the palm of your hand anytime you need it.
Well, I was in that situation yesterday where I was getting phone calls for Lowe's, but I couldn't do anything until I got home. And so I was frantically driving home.
So get that app downloaded.
We've all been there, Debbie.
Thank you so much,
but
Evan.
Yeah, definitely inquire of Maria of that,
okay.
Debbie. Evan, we are so blessed to have you on the call today. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, Evan.
Joining us for over a little bit here.
My pleasure, guys. Hey, Raymond, one more thing. Was that you, Ray?
Yes, it was.
I think there's a site called bulkloads.com, and I think it's an actual bulk load load posting site. Look it up and see if that can help you out too, okay?
All right, thanks.
Bulkloads.com. Boy, thank you for sharing that. I had never heard of that.
Yeah, check it out. I don't know too much about it, but I think it's something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Raymond, I got a couple of them for you. Dry bulk load and what's your phone number?
No. Debbie, give Ray your phone number.
Oh, okay. Are you there, Ray?
Yes.
Okay, 888.
Okay.
850-3327.
Okay.
I was gifted with a bunch of those.
Yeah. Debbie started with us last week. Evan, she's got two loads in the system already.
Good job, Debbie. Welcome aboard.
Yeah. Thank you. Good job,
Debbie.
Glad to be here.
Okay, Evan, thank you so much. It has been a true blessing to have you on today. As I say every time or every call, guys, if you have any questions involving selling, if you require some motivation, give me a call at the office, 626-309-9141. Any questions involving posting a load, entering a load, anything on our LDI freight system, same number, you'll call, you'll speak to Maria or Marilyn at 626-309-9141. Evan, if anybody has a question for you, can they call you at corporate?
Sure. 800.
What's your number?
800-554-3734, extension 1351.
So one more time, Evan.
800-554-3734, extension 1351.
Awesome, Evan. Thank you so much. God bless you to you and your family. Folks, been a pleasure hearing all of you and your interest. We'll talk to you all soon.
All right, take care, guys.
Back
Thank you so much.